This episode of How Was Your Run Today is sponsored by HealthIQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance.
To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/HWYRT or mention the promo code HWYRT when you speak with a HealthIQ agent.
Now, let's start the show. Brian, two different people have written in to the show, unrelated to each other, and one gave us a deep dive on the research they've done on treadmills.
Okay.
And we're going to link to that on our site.
Personal research?
Yeah, it seems like, yeah, but very high end, like a blog.
Did we ask for that?
No, they heard us talking about it with the Lauren Men.
Yeah.
And others, and they were like, here's some, we thought you might be interested in this.
Wow.
And then around the same period, it is intense. And then around the same period of time, out of nowhere, a deep thesis on pressure cookers and other slow cookers triggered by our discussion and love of the Instant Pot here at HWIRT.
These are two different people?
They are. And actually, social media guru Anna Brooks asked me that question. Did the same person send us both those emails? No, one's in Australia, one's not. Like, it's crazy.
Wait a minute. Wait, stop.
What? What?
Are they just like linking articles to you from Consumer Reports, or they did
research? No, they did the research. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They're each their own creation. And they said, would you mind mentioning it on your show? And I don't mind. If you do some deep research, I don't mind.
This could be valuable information for people.
Hence, if people listening to this right now go to howisyourruntoday.com or hwyrt.com, you will see on our main page the link to these two different blog articles in case you want more information about quality treadmills or quality slow cookers / pressure cookers.
I don't know how to react to this.
I'm
a little overwhelmed.
It's shocking, and it's the power of media, my friend. You know that my mom is still convinced that we faked the 100 plus people at the Crankle, right? She doesn't believe that that was real.
How do you fake that?
There's a video. Video, and she's still like, come on.
There's video evidence. There's like a 20-minute video on YouTube.
No, she believes it. She believes it.
There's also a trailer about the Millinocket film.
Well, it's funny you say that.
That our friend Greg Shea is
award-winning filmmaker and runner Greg Shea did an unbelievable video about the Crankle 2K and an unbelievable trailer about a larger Millinocket video. And he's going to come and speak with us right now. Can you believe that?
That's great. I don't need any more than the trailer. Well, that's good enough.
It's funny you say that because I just told Jeff Cronenberg, composer, whose music is featured all over these videos.
Yes, it is.
I said, I hope he doesn't finish the video because the trailer's so good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's not going to live up to
it. No, it's like Phantom Menace. Like, just give me the trailer. Don't ever show me the Jar Jar.
Of course it will live up to it.
It's going
to
be fine.
He's an award-winning filmmaker.
He is.
Peter, how has the hunt for Shalane Flanagan, our next guest, gone?
It's going very well, Brian. I'm glad you asked. How was my hunt for Shalane Flanagan as a guest on the show today?
That's right.
Question mark?
Wait, that was my job.
You know, it was.
Yeah.
And it still kind of is. But I think we are getting the seeds put out there thanks to friend of the show and former guest and hopefully future guest, Lori Richmond. She's been calling it out on social media about the superhero muffins.
Is that right?
Yes. So I think the echoes are reverberating around the running community. We haven't pulled any of the big guns yet. We haven't really asked any favors yet.
That's true.
We're trying to grassroots this, but it's coming. More to come as the new year progresses. Happy New Year to you, by the way, Brian.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Hip Year to you.
Hip to that?
Yeah, we did that already, so we're good.
I know. Can I hip you to something else?
Okay.
I haven't worn my running shoes since Millinocket, my running sneaks.
It's funny you say that because I just went on the eBay.
Yeah.
And I bought myself a brand new pair of the Addictions.
Wait. The Brooks. eBay is for like old furniture and musical instruments,
it's
right?
Also if you have a size 11.5 4E width foot.
Well, you go I'm not there, an elephant, so I don't have that.
You go there for the previous year's Brooks shoes because you can't get them off the Brooks site anymore.
So who's buying these and selling them on eBay?
Not my problem. All I know is I'm getting them for $70, and that's a savings of at least $50 to $60 to me.
Is this right?
Well, they're brand new. No one's worn them.
Is this the dark web you're talking about?
I don't think it's that, and that's weird that you would label me like that.
I don't even know what the dark web is.
Yes, you do.
No, that's, I don't. That's I don't creepy. Understand it. What is it? That's, how do you get the, tell me, do you go www.darkweb.com?
Tim Sullivan shaking his head.
No, right I now. Have it's absolutely, just, I hear about, I thought it was a made up thing. And then I learned about Bitcoin and they're using it on the dark web to buy nefarious items. And I'm like, dark, it's not a thing.
No, that's how
or
you get,
is it like a video game?
It's not that.
What is it?
It's not anything you want to know about. If you have to ask about the dark web, you don't ever want to know about it.
That sounds
accurate.
Suspicious
true.
To me.
Well, that's fine. Why don't you do some research about it and see how soon the FBI come to your door?
That's funny. You know, everything I ever want to know, I just Google it. And I have never, I guess I'm not that curious because I've never actually Googled the dark web. I've Googled dark matter. I want to know what dark matter is and dark energy.
A lot of people want to know that.
And the dark forces that haven't, are out there.
Haven't figured that out yet.
Most of the universe is unexplained.
You were making a point about not really wearing your running shoes, but that makes sense.
Since I'm not running, I did have a major, major accomplishment this week.
Let's hear that.
Well, I went from two crutches to one crutch.
You went from no crutch to two crutch.
Well, that was last month.
To one crutch.
Okay, we don't have to.
No, and I'm saying, you know what's coming next?
What?
No crutch.
True, full cycle.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
But it's a long way before I'm even in the shape I was or the ability I was on the morning of the Millinocket Marathon.
What has four legs in the morning?
Yes.
Two legs in the afternoon?
Yes.
Three legs at night?
I know the answer to that.
It's your dog Pooh Bear because you dance with him in the middle of the day when you're home.
He has two legs.
And then you hold up one of his paws while you're shaking it at night.
That's right. Three legs.
That's what that riddle is.
And the rest
about.
Of the time he has four legs.
Right. Well, in the morning because you don't want to mess with him in the morning. He's got morning breath.
And also, Pooh Bear's got morning breath all day long. And his good friend Winnie seems to have no legs. They're so stout and
you
short.
You can't quite see them. And when it snows even just
she doesn't
a coating,
yeah, she's like a snow submarine, that dog.
Yeah, she does sort of.
Underneath, the little ears are poking up out of the snow.
Yeah. Less hot dog, more dog bun. Right?
I guess.
There's no meat there. It's just
She's also bun colored.
She is bun colored. That's what made me think of it.
Huh.
Interesting.
If I was on a raft in the middle of the Pacific Ocean for weeks on end and I saw my dog, I'd probably think, oh, hot dog, and I eat her.
Yeah, you might.
Like a cartoon, like a Heckle and Jekyll cartoon. Peter, since I've seen you, have you run any races?
I've not run any official races. I've only run a handful of times, to be honest with you. I have gone into deep, quiet hibernation mode. It has been...
Peter, so has the entire Northeast. It's...
Unseasonably cold.
It's seasonably cold. It's unbelievably cold.
It's historically cold.
That's accurate.
Right?
Right.
And the day that we're releasing this is...
Snowy?
Trumpopalypse? No. Snowmageddon?
Don't give him credit for that.
Well, he took credit for the safety of all the people on the FAA commercial flights.
Okay. Too topical? Yes. Edit that out, Brian.
Brian, take all that out. Brian, as we release this episode, it's essentially, the Northeast is essentially closed for business today.
It's buried under
because,
snow.
Because...
The snow clone.
It got a little warmer, but then the sky fell and gave us a foot or more of the white stuff. And now, if you're listening to this past Thursday night, you probably froze everything in place.
Right.
Because that's it.
Just follow my dog's ears through the snow. She'll get you home.
This, the bun dog.
Yeah, bun dog. Hot dog.
Bun dog ear. This might be the last message we can transmit.
You know what's hard to do with one crutch? Shovel snow.
Can't do it. You're going to have to hire someone.
Well, the artisan residence is available and willing.
And you have two progenitors?
Yeah.
No, are you the progenitors or are they the progenitors? No, you're the progenitor.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
The progenitor. The progenitor is the the father and the mother. I'm sure of that. Because then the progeny is the children.
Is that right? So you're saying the one crutch with the shovel end would not work?
Yeah, they don't make that attachment. There's no shovel attachment for the crutch. No, Andrew's going to have to get behind the snowblower. Luckily.
Oh, you invested the big money.
Yeah, luckily last year we bought the snowblower. Probably the last snowblower I'll ever buy. It's a good one.
Well, you do have quite a bit of a walkway.
and driveway. You
have quite a big driveway.
It is long.
And it forks and has two points of entry.
Yeah, that was a dumb choice.
No, I like it because when I come, I block that second way out. I love that. I go perpendicular and I sort of hop into the bush and I park near the chicken coop. I love mm-hmm. that. That's fun. Brian, for anyone hearing this Thursday or Friday, we should let people know that we'll be down at the BPL recording our first 2018 show on Saturday.
That's an excellent point. Come down and get interviewed.
Come down, say hi to us.
What time are we going to be there again?
We're going to be there Eastern Standard Time between 1 and 3 p.m.
That's Saturday.
That is Saturday. And
predicted to be 6 below.
It's going to be very chilly. It's the first Saturday of January. Please be there. If you want a long sleeve tech shirt, bring money.
We'll have your size.
That's all we'll say about that.
Right.
Because it's, you know, when they pay for the shirt.
They pay for the show.
That's what I'm saying. They pay the shirt, the show.
It helps with the shirts. It helps with the shows. It helps if you hold your nose.
Brian.
Sir.
Enough of the shameless plugs and commerce of the show.
Well, that's really what it's all about, isn't it?
No, it's about artistry.
It's America.
And athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of anybody who personifies both art and athletics the way Mr. Greg Shea does. Greg, thank you for joining us here. How was your run today, Greg?
I have not run since December 9th in Millinocket. That was the last time I ran.
Stop talking.
Well, me too.
Thanks, Greg, for coming
in.
Did
you also have a hip operation?
Thankfully, I did not have a hip operation.
What?
And, for those that can't see us here, your crutches are, or crutch singular.
Singular. He's one down crutch. To one.
Hey, progress.
That was in the last day or two. That means he'll be running again soon.
I might run before you do, Peter.
Okay, I've been running. I've run more than both of you, which is shocking because I'm 1,000 pounds. But that's neither here nor there. Greg, well, then what were you going off to the gym today? Because I know we had to book you around your gym appointments.
What was I doing going to the gym?
A little hardcore core?
A little mix of some weights. And I did 70 flights on the stair thing there, you know.
Well,
no animal walk, you know,
no,
but
you
just
mean,
the stair thing. Just a
the little mini escalator.
Yeah,
the
mini escalator. Steps. Just steps that just keep going forever.
Brutal. That is harder than a step machine. That is.
Yeah, it measures your heart rate. And I think it had me at like 155 beats per minute, which shows I haven't been exercising very much. I was like,
no, I think that's just.
You know, if you go just a mile down from your gym. There's a concrete structure, oldest stadium in the United States. You could do the same workout outside.
But it's like a 70-degree difference.
And also, Harvard Stadium's covered with snow. You can't do a single step, I don't think.
Yeah. So don't do that, Greg.
And I'm not going there.
I do need to try that sometime. I got to hit those stairs with you at some point.
It's fun.
You do you, Greg. But you're not here to talk about your athletic prowess today.
No.
Tell us what's the latest creation coming out of the Running with Cameras Dream Factory.
The Dream Factory, yes. Thank you guys for having me. And thank you for being part of this awesome like podcast video collaboration thing. Like it just feels like a cool projects just come together when Howard's here today and the video thing, like going back to our marathon series a few years ago now. That's where it all started. And
that's where we got our second fan after Peter's mom from Dan, that series.
From Dan Horan,
That's right.
That's right, yeah.
But yeah, no, it was really great that we had talked about, once I started this little YouTube channel as like kind of a running hobby thing to combine my interest in video with running. Early on, it was like, we got to do something. I think we just thought it'd be fun. And Millinocket seemed like the obvious choice. And I was almost more excited to see the Crankle 2K in some ways. Although, of course, now that I'm working on this more meatier video about the Millinocket race itself, and I followed both you guys, which was really fun. And in total serendipity, I got a chance to interview Gary Allen, which was
race director Gary Allen,
founder and race director of the race. And I thought about trying to set up something with him ahead of time. And looking back, I really should have, because it would have been so easy not to get him. The way it just happened, I was literally setting up chairs on the sidewalk to interview guys. And I overheard somebody say, Gary, like asking him a question about the preparations for the race. And I was like, are you Gary Allen? And he was like, yeah. And I told him what I was doing. And I was like, do you happen to have a chance to talk? And you guys were at the expo, I think, picking up your bibs. It was total serendipity. And it was so fortunate, because not only did I get a chance to talk to him about why he created this awesome race, he also was like, why are you setting up over here? He's like, come on by the logging trucks, like park yourself right in the middle of the street. And I was like, I didn't want to disrupt any of their preparations or any of that stuff. And it ended up being a really funny location that, you know, for people who haven't seen it, the Krenkel video is up. And
it's a great shot though. I mean, it's perfect.
It is. Yeah. It really just says Maine and Millinocket in the race in such a wonderful way. And that was Gary's insistence of just like, yeah, come on over here. We have some cones, like set right up. And
well, the cones didn't do a lot of good.
Yeah. We almost got run over.
People kept driving down the street, even though we were seated next to each other.
Was close.
In between two logging trucks, people kept driving within inches of us.
Yes. You were like, particularly in the line of fire, Brian. I think the side mirror of a few cars were about 3 inches away from you. So that was a little dicey.
I could have climbed in the car easier than stay in my seat. That's how close
you were. Did you have lights set up and a tripod as well? Yeah, you had lights.
No, I did not have a light, but I had tripod and mic stands, and three of us were sitting in chairs, and there were cones out.
But it wasn't like we were just hard to miss. And you were in a chair too.
And there were two enormous logging trucks full of logs parked in the same street. I mean, the street was down to barely one lane.
Right. You had to tuck
in. There was a sign strung across the thing that said finish line or Miller and Lockett race.
Yeah.
And then we're sitting in the middle of the street. There's cones in front of us and people kept driving through.
Yeah. There were an amazing amount of obstacles presented to a driver to actually make that decision to go between the cones.
But you know, it's their street. They live there.
Yeah, you know, and they slowed it down at least for us.
They did slow it down. They were at least under 20 miles an hour.
Now, your Krenkel video, huge success. People love it.
Oh, thanks. What was fun about that, and I think I told you this, is I used interviews from you guys to, you know, set the scene. But the last half of that video is just capturing the moment and what was happening.
So great.
And I think it's really fun and compelling. And usually you feel that need to constantly be like, reinforcing something with sound bites and people narrating the story or whatever it is. But there was so much really genuinely fun things that were just happening in the moment, you know, between Gary's pre-run speech, like spontaneous stuff. And then you and Brian hyping up the crowd, and the race itself, of course, was really fun. And then following the race, it was just a riot. The spontaneous like tunnel that people formed to like, you know,
the cheer station.
Yeah. And I went through it with my camera to kind of get that perspective. And then the award ceremony, it was just so funny. The whole thing that I was like, I'm just going to let this stuff roll. You know what I mean? Just let it be what it is. And I would think for those who haven't done it or heard you guys talk about it, you know, check out the video and, you know, you get, it's not as good as being there, but it gives you the next best thing.
Well, now speaking of being there, that was your first time in the town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You rolled in middle of day Friday and stayed through the end of Saturday and had to get going. But what was your impression of the town and the race and the people around it?
You know, it was interesting because having heard you guys talk about it so much and
endlessly,
every day,
monotonously,
and do your sort of live post-race broadcast and all these things, you sort of form a picture in your mind. You know what I mean? And I've been to Maine before, but I hadn't been that far up, I think. And it was kind of what I expected, but it was more charming, I would say. And the people were that much more like genuine and gracious and all these wonderful things. I had a little bit of hesitation that like there's going to be this feeling of, oh, here comes a bunch of runners from the city or wherever.
Interlopers.
And they're going to descend on this town and they're all going to be like high-fiving each other for like being like the greatest people ever for like helping out this. It's going to feel a little shallow or hollow maybe in a weird way. But there was none of that. Like it felt like a genuine love fest from like all of the people who spontaneously support that race. Like I was listening to your Millinocket Part 2 podcast driving into work today. And I couldn't agree more with like how amazing is how many people come out and just set up like a pickup truck and a table with water or like, you know, cookies or soup, whatever it is. But there's so much support for a race that's like unsupported. And Gary will tell you, he's telling the town, like, don't do too much. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like runners should be totally self-sufficient. That's why there's no entry fee. But despite that, the town comes out and supports and cheers and sets up aid stations. And that was just present throughout the whole town. I just felt like from everybody I encountered. So, you know, it really was, it was better than I thought it was going to be. And, you know, could definitely see myself going back there. And that little main Penobscot Street is just so awesome. I mean, it's just a fantastic collection of like restaurants and bars. And, you know, it's got a real old New England town kind of vibe. Yeah. And it's great.
Now, one of the side benefits, I guess you could say, or detriments of your project is that not only did you film the half marathon with Peter Knight, you also had to run it. So how was that course? How was your day that day?
You know, it was funny and kind of mirrored, I think, a little bit of the experience of the two of you in the sense that like the first half, so much excitement starting the race and, you know, and the town is all out in full force. And I think that you just had a smile from ear to ear because like there was so many more people, the weather was so much better.
It was so big. Yeah.
There were so many runners plus spectators, all these things. So I could just tell you were like, this is so fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like for the kind of turnout they had and the sort of giant party kind of vibe, then you turn onto the Golden Road and like, that's just such like a course, like I've never seen before, which makes the whole thing so, memorable, I guess, or just different from any other race. It's like you're running behind these logging.
How's your Stairmaster now?
Exactly.
Straight up.
Yeah. And then you come into the view of Mount Katahdin, of course, and like it's so scenic and beautiful. But then things turns kind of difficult, I think, once I transitioned. I ran the first half with you, second half with Peter. So it kind of mirrored, like, I felt like you were pretty just steady, running fine, having fun, smiles, taking off layers because it was actually pretty comfortably warm under the sun. As the day gets longer, it got a little darker, it gets a little colder. You've been running longer. And Peter, I witnessed, and it was really interesting to document, and it kind of worked out fun for video purposes that Peter had a hard time. Like,
you slowed me down, Greg. I
mean, carrying all that battery pack.
Yeah,
and
you came out. You came out so early and fast and hard, and then you got me.
But I was
trying
you.
To PR the puppy, and you're.
I was heckling you.
You're like, can we just walk this first seventh mile? Can we just hold up?
Can I get another Gatorade?
Hold on a second. Let me go into the RV for a minute. I got to charge my camera.
And you were just waiting around.
None of those things are true. No, I actually think I did pretty well up until about mile
10-ish. You did great.
10-ish, like just
yeah.
10.
It was like, yeah, round of 9 or 10. You did. And you were kind of smiles too. And it was like,
but
you know,
I lost it. And
the course is tough. You know, this is your original point. Like running it was definitely, I hadn't run a few weeks before that and I haven't run since because I'm dealing with like a mild injury and that course is not easy. So like, you know, you kind of had this, I think I was looking at my watch more because I was just curious what like time of day it was. And you were like, you can go ahead. Like, don't mind me.
Don't slow you down, Greg.
I was like, I could care less about pace. Like, and I felt that race at the end of that. I mean, I was definitely hurting. It was not an easy run. So it's a tough course.
So I have a question. All three of us are not running a lot this season, sort of. Mm-hmm. This if we were training for Boston, obviously we would be, but it's sort of a downtime for all three of us. So what are you guys all doing to stay in shape, or are you? I am doing nothing except recovering and PT work, which means I'm squeezing a soccer ball between my knees and stretching a rubber band. That's about all I'm doing.
That's pretty good. That sounds like I should put that in.
It's not getting my heart rate up, I can tell you that.
Put that in my rotation. I gotta get that.
I guess.
Well, I came out of Millinocket strategically knowing I wasn't going to run much, so I scheduled a colonoscopy, which kept me light on my toes.
I guess.
Yeah, well, okay, but it did. And then I rolled into the holidays, and then I rolled out of the holidays. And
didn't we all?
Here we are. I think I've done one spin class, a couple outdoor sessions, a couple treadmill sessions, not much.
So you out of the Clyde Army with that schedule?
Okay, so now are you getting into my overall plan, my attack? I'm trying to lower the caloric intake every single day. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to bring it way down. Mm-hmm. And water's my friend.
Okay.
Nice.
I have to get back to running. Mm-hmm. I know, Brian. Mm-hmm. I understand. It's hard right now. It's cold outside.
That's why I was asking what your plan is.
I guess I need to self-assess that.
I think you do.
Here's my thing. I'm going to be looking at Greg Shea's video and being like, who's that guy running? Who's that big man? Who's that? Who's that fella?
Is that me?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can see all parts of me, right? Because you do a little game with yourself when you're doing the head-on or the side mirror. But when you do the 360 on yourself, whoa, the out-of-body, The out-of-body, check the body. You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea what the words mean that you're saying.
Yes, you do. When you see that three quarters behind you and you're like, who's that? What's he got
no,
back
no,
there?
No. Who are they? Oh,
let me tell you something else. This is vanity talking, but had I known how I looked in fluorescent orange and had I known that because I wanted to keep the water belt from freezing, I tucked it under the jacket, like that helped, added a couple inches around the middle. Just put that on the outside, man. Everyone knows you got a water belt on. Don't hide it. Yeah, I didn't do myself any favors. Awesome. Also, the giant beard didn't do me any favors. I look like Methuselah.
I think during the race, you told a woman that you were Igor's dad.
I did, yeah.
Which is really, that cracked me up.
Well, it was the female Santa. Yeah. She wouldn't leave us alone.
All right, Peter, clearly you have no plan for the next 3 months. Greg, workout plan for the next 3 months?
I'm trying to watch. The holidays are obviously tough for like the food and booze intake.
Would you gain half a pound?
Yeah, I probably gained 5 pounds. And then
if you gained 5 pounds, I gained 55.
But then he shaved his beard. And
it's all gone.
Yeah, we all shaved our beards. Yeah. Oh, no, you haven't. You haven't. Sorry.
I trimmed it way back.
I trimmed way back.
I miss the big boy.
So I'm doing cross training at the gym, you know, and where I used to emphasize a lot of the weight stuff, I'm doing more of like runner style exercises, I would say, like, you know, box jumps and, you know,
lunges.
Yeah, exactly. And doing the stair machine. Like I never used to do that kind of stuff, but I've really come to this place where all of my exercise is basically towards general health and fitness and helping with running, you know? So, you know, and then any weight stuff I do, I'm much more focused on multiple reps, like more and more reps with a lot lower weight. It's probably because I'm getting old, so I can't lift much weight. But so I've changed my focus on that style. So I'm going to keep doing that stuff. And then I'll probably test out running in another 3 or 4 weeks because that will have really been almost no running in December and January. Uh-oh. And I feel like at that point, if I'm still dealing with sort of like this abdominal core issue, whatever it is, probably go see my doctor and see what's up. But hopefully I'll heal it up.
Hopefully.
So, yeah. If you're healthy by spring, are you going to target any kind of races for 2018 or do you not have anything in mind?
I'm mildly interested in the marathons are 26.2. I forget, something in the title of this race has 26.2, but there's a Salisbury Beach race that's new that I think it's $26 or something. That's where, anyway, it's around the Salisbury Beach reservation. I've run up there a bunch and it's flat as anything. And it's, I think it's around 6 miles that loops. It's really designed as like a Boston qualifier.
Okay.
So it's like easy to keep like a support network of seeing people. It's not super far from my house. It's flat, fast, all these things. So I think that's in April. So I'm like,
and is that a marathon?
Yeah.
Run? Okay.
So I'm like mildly interested in that race. If I were to come back to running and feeling really good,
so you might
to go for like another Boston qualifier attempt or something. But if I'm not feeling healthy for it, I wouldn't push it.
So you're going to go zero to marathon in like 12 weeks? Not even?
I mean, I did a couple marathons. You know, I've run so much in 2017 that I feel like I've got a really good base foundation of fitness. That
I do too. I mean, basically, after Millinocket, I felt good. So surgery, I'll be right back at it. I'll probably go zero to half marathon in the first week, right?
I said it last time. I'll say it now. You probably aren't going to put foot into running shoe for a real run much before May 1.
Mm. Okay.
But that's fine.
It's fine.
That's the wise.
And that'll be a half marathon.
Okay.
Trail. I'm going to take it easy.
Deep trail.
Trail. It's
deep trail. Deep trail.
Yeah. Definitely want to do a lot more trails myself too in 2018. You know, I just think the more you can get off the roads, the better it is for your body.
Well, tell us a little bit about your video series and what we can expect to see come out of Running with Cameras in 2018.
So the videos, if you go to Running with Cameras on YouTube, the style of videos that I'm most excited about are these like sort of race profiles. I did one on my friend Nick running the 50-mile Stonecat trail race in Ipswich, Mass. And that was great. I actually got picked up by Trail Runner magazine and
huge.
Is doing pretty well on YouTube as far as my kind of modest new channel standards go. But that's the kind of video that like I'm most excited about, where it's sort of this hybrid between documentary and like profiling a race. You know, the thought is that if you're a runner, you're interested in races, it just, the whole reason I kind of launched the channel, one of them is like this notion of you can read race reports and blogs. So like so many people like research races by like reading about them. And sure. I was like, if you see a video about it, it just gives you like so much more information.
Right. Well, I think that's what your Milanaga video is going to do that, right? For
yeah.
anybody who's even questioning whether or not that's for them, they should just have a look.
That's my thought too. Exactly. I mean, you hope it sort of stands up as its own source of kind of entertainment if you're interested in running. But in addition, it's sort of just practically useful for races. So those are the videos I'm most excited about. And the you guys in the Milanaga race will be right up there. Like, so I've sort of got this thing going now where I'm consistently thinking of what races am I interested in. And I would sort of see that race through the prism or profile of a particular runner. So there are certain trail races I've got my eye on for 2018 that I would love to capture. And I might even expand a little bit and try to get some other people with running with cameras mm-hmm. to like work with me. To capture like perhaps like a 100-mile race where you're following like the leaders, like the, so I want to kind of increase some of the ambitions. Maybe
yeah, you are a little bit limited by your own desire to run as far as you need to or want to run.
Sure.
For the video, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you make a really good point that seeing the race is so much better than reading about, or not, it's different, but it's different. Gives you a ton of information. Really feels like you're there. For example, you know, a few years ago when that Barkley Marathon yep. documentary came out, mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we're all signed up to run Barkley Marathons this spring, right? You guys, you're going to be there with me?
You're in a parallel universe with everything that you're saying. It's amazing what you're doing.
Not running in it?
No. Nope.
Hey, Greg, before Brian asks you this next question, I just got to talk to him for a quick second privately. Hold on.
Come on, Brian.
You know, Brian, this talk of all the races we might do in 2018 make me think about all the results we're going to have on the other side of any given race. And
Peter, the results we have from this year, 2017.
Good point.
You know what we can use those for?
To get better rates on our life insurance through healthiq.com.
If you contact HealthIQ through their website or just by calling them, you can give them that information. They're going to use it through their special calculus to ensure you rates that are not only competitive, like you are, huh? See what I did there?
See what you did.
But they're going to be special rates. They're going to be great rates for you.
Yeah, because you're living your life a certain way, a healthy way, and you should be rewarded for that. And healthiq.com knows that. So when you call them, just mention how was your run today. Or if you visit healthiq.com/HWIRT, you get the process started, you fill out a profile, you do a little quiz, you tell them about yourself, you take it a step deeper, you start providing some results, some Strava results. Guess what you get?
What do you get, Peter?
You get the best rate going on life insurance out in that marketplace.
And life insurance, as I have said, is something none of us want to think about, but it's something we should all have.
No, we all have to think about it. Let's be adults here.
Yeah, let's be adults.
Come on. If we're going to say that we're going to go out there and do these crazy races, the least we can do is take responsibility for ourselves.
Peter.
What?
That's incredibly insightful. Thank you.
Well, I know. It's because who knows what's going to happen to me? Have the life insurance. Why not? And if you're going to have life insurance, why not pay the best rate for it? And that's what healthiq.com does for you.
Peter, you know, you can go to our website, howisyourruntoday.com or hwyrt.com, and click on the HealthIQ link, and it'll take you right there.
You'll go right there, and you will get the best information you can possibly get from any insurance agency.
Get rewarded by being a healthy, fit person. And for doing the work that you do.
But not just runners, Brian. Cyclists, swimmers, even vegetarians.
Or vegans.
Oh, right. Don't forget the vegans.
Even people with low resting heart rates, Peter. Because as a runner, you may have an quote unquote abnormally low resting heart rate. And if you go to a normal life insurance company, they're going to ding you for that. And you're going to pay more.
I've got 47 beats per minute right this minute.
But if you go through HealthIQ, they're going to find you a rate that is better because they know you're athletic.
They know you're
fit. They know you're doing the good stuff. And that's why you have a low resting heart rate.
Right. It's not a detriment.
You're already fit. Get smart. Save some money.
Right.
Go to healthiq.com/HWYRT.
Make that a sub goal for 2018.
Come on, Bray.
Greg, don't feel embarrassed that I didn't talk to you about that. Okay? It was just
so embarrassed.
It was just a commercial. It wasn't anything about you personally.
Okay.
I believe Brian, go ahead with your question.
Without committing to anything, can you tease us a little bit about a race that you're thinking about, or even a goal race, a stretch race that you want to cover, that you know, is just out there and you'd like to do it. You're not even sure how you might accomplish it, but you want to make it happen.
Yeah. So, I haven't reached out to this race at all yet, but when I mentioned like 100 miler, like to me, the Vermont 100 seems like one that it's, I think among, they actually have like a grand slam of 100 milers, and there must be original ones, or like, you know, I think 100 mile races sort of started in the United States and Western states. I think it's credited as being like the first one in the '70s, but anyway, Vermont 100 doesn't draw, I think, the same kind of uber talent in the ultra trail race world.
Okay.
I mean, they get a lot of talented runners, but I don't think they're amongst, like, maybe it's prize money. I don't know enough about what I'm talking about, but it is one of the older ones. So it is in this sort of grand slam. And more importantly, it's localish. It's New England, of course. So, it's not gonna be easy for me to go out and cover like a Hard Rock or Western States. And there's lots of amazing videos on YouTube of people who are doing that stuff, not quite as much in New England. So to me, that seems like an obvious thing to kind of, expand here locally in New England, make some connections and ties. So that's a race that I look at as just something that, and personally, like, that's a race I'd be interested in running at some point. Like, okay, if I ever worked up to 100 miler, like, that would be a natural one to potentially run. So to do sections of that, profiling other runners, mm-hmm, seems like something that could be really cool.
And given Peter's training schedule, do you think that you will be having him support you in the 100 miler as the camera, other camera guy? You mean the second assistant director, second unit director?
Yeah, the stationary camera. next to the Krispy Kreme.
Base camp. Unit?
Yeah. Sure.
No, but I do very much expect when Peter takes on his 50 that he is verbally committed to for over a year now or something. That's going
to
happen.
It's about 2.5 years. And are you ready to go north of the border? Because it's going to have to be in Canada.
In Canada.
It's going to make it easier for Tim Sullivan.
Oh, that's right.
He knows all the good ones.
Okay.
And
yeah, they've got the ultras up there for sure.
Yeah. So, all right. Just start saving your pennies now.
I have to document that experience.
Keep the passport up to date.
Yeah. An ultra is just a whole nother thing that we have to know what's happening with you and your first ultra.
So do a demo to get seed money for that project. If you want to come out and record the BAA 5K, because I'm going to guide him on the BAA 5K. Cool. He's asked me to do that because he's running the marathon this year. But and he has a guide for that.
Nice.
But, I'm going to be doing the 5K that Saturday of marathon weekend. So
that's cool.
You might want to do a quick mini of me tripping him several times.
You sure you want that on tape?
Yeah, him dragging me across the finish line? Yeah.
I'm also remembering now, Brian, that just in terms of the future, you had a good idea while we were running in Millinocket. I think we were on the Golden Road.
All my good ideas happen while
Were able to talk while you were running?
And then I forget them all.
Wait, how were you breathing?
Brian was all smiles. What did you see the video?
I don't want to see it. What part of me failing miserably?
Mine was the first half, Peter. Yours was the second half.
I was all nothing but ha-has and good times the first 6 miles.
Mm-hmm. I rode an ATV back for the second half.
Do you remember when the drone went over us?
Yes.
I tried to get on it.
but you had said, which I think is a cool idea, I don't know how or if I'll ever implement this, but the idea of, like, you know, putting it out there for viewers, or, you know, maybe something you guys could do through listeners, but, like, it's kind of a fun idea of just, like, I'm interested in chronicling these races. You got to find a person to do that and who's willing to have a camera following them. I mean, you guys speak to that experience, but sometimes it might be kind of weird having a 6'4" guy following you around with the camera while you're running. But that could be something that's fun in the future to sort of, like, you know, put that out as almost like a sort of contest thing, or like find good stories of people and, you know, pair up with a stranger basically that's running an interesting race. And, you know, so that could be something
we could do that. We could make it the prize for winning the Crankle next year, that Greg just follows you the next day, whether you're running the race or not.
Like,
he goes home. He goes home with you for
the
weekend.
That would be awesome.
That would be.
I wonder if the Crankle gets their own personal running with camera video.
Especially someone who is either doing it. I mean, anytime you take on a big race, especially a marathon, if you're running a marathon, it's like, this isn't just throwing your hat in the ring, right? You've trained for it. It's something big. If you've run 15 marathons, it's still a big thing. If it's your first, it's a really big thing.
Totally.
But other times people are running because they raise money or remembering something or for some significant life achievement.
Mm-hmm.
So having an actual video done of that could be way over the top meaningful for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Conversely, it could also be like, I don't like the idea of anyone recording me.
Yeah, I mean,
some
marathons,
people are like that.
Some people are camera shy.
There were moments during my back 6 miles where I was like, Greg, hold off for a second because I got to do a thing here.
I mean, maybe I haven't seen enough footage.
You haven't seen my footage, man.
Well, that's true.
And as a camera person, I can say it's both in doing my buddy's 50 miler and with your experience.
Yeah.
There's that line between like, this is the best stuff. This makes for compelling video. And like, I'm a friend of yours and I want to respect the fact that like, you're in misery right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your soul's bleeding on the golden road.
Exactly. So, I mean, there really is a weird little conflict there. And it would probably be even more strange with a stranger. But to me, it would be kind of an agreement that like my buddy Nick, I have to love that he said, he's like, I don't care what happens to me, never stop filming. And I was like, all right, he's the right guy to be doing
that's
this.
The right,
you know what I mean?
That's, good. Miles,
that's the attitude you want.
A lot out to the wind. You throw caution to the wind.
Well, that's true though, right?
Yeah. But I just love he got the notion of like,
sure,
it makes for like a good story. That's just the reality of I'm like lying on the side of the trail crying, which he wasn't, but he had some low moments, you know, as you do. It's
but that's
you know,
the truth,
that's
right?
The good
you
stuff.
Go in knowing that your ego is going to have to stay at the starting line and you catch up with it later because what's the point of doing it then?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I think most runners are fall into that category. But sometimes I would just think like someone who's doing it for the very first time may not because they're so concerned about performance or so concerned about, will I be okay?
Do I have to don't know if I'd want a camera on me run. I mean, marathons are hard. That last 10K
So maybe
brutal.
The prize is they put a camera on you.
Yeah, they get to pick who the camera goes on.
Yeah. Who knows? We'll figure it out. We have time to workshop it.
You actually were very kind and let me have the camera the day before on Friday. And I think I rolled for like close to an hour. Did you end up seeing any of that?
Yeah, some of that stuff's in the video.
Oh my gosh. Shouldn't have used the potty talk so much.
Yeah, you know there's a microphone on those cameras?
No, I thought it was just stills.
Mm-hmm. No, but that actually worked out great, Peter. Like, I'm glad you brought that up because one of the things I hope the listeners of this podcast will enjoy is like the finished product of this Millinocket race truly is like a collaboration. Like when people see the final thing, I was able to weave in some cool stuff with your podcast that like, and the fact that you actually shot some stuff and you guys are such a huge, like the characters essentially in this thing, it became a really fun collaboration that started with just such a casual thought. And it's going to be this full blown thing that I think I'm like 10 minutes in and I would guess the finished video will be like somewhere between 16 minutes and 20 minutes or something. And
wow.
It's a substantial little document.
Did you know going into it when you were plotting it out, after you saw some of the footage that you wanted to use some of the podcast audio, or was that something that came later or before?
It became clear because I did the interview with you guys before the race.
Right.
Whereas like the better way to probably do this stuff is after the race. Cause then like I could ask you more pointed questions about took place in the race.
Yeah.
But because of Brian and his hip, we knew
ruined it.
We knew it was going to be tight timing after the race and just like,
well, somebody got a new puppy.
And
made a video about it. So you had to make a video, a puppy video.
Touché.
All right. So
and I was having,
I was
having
home like, yeah, waiting to be interviewed prior to surgery. He was at Logan Airport picking up some little puppy. That
is factually correct. That is factually correct.
Don't blame me, sir.
And I had a 2-week-long colonoscopy.
And it actually did make sense to do an interview sitting there by those logging trucks. Like that was like, so I guess the ideal way to do this from a video perspective would have been to probably do both. But the solution was I heard your Millinocket part one episode and I was like, oh, this fills in a lot of
that's what I need.
Of,
I
like,
want that.
You guys are talking about the race.
We didn't leave anything out in those two shows.
No, we definitely put it all there.
So it's a cool hybrid. I think it's going
to
be
interesting. I can't wait to see it. And when do you think, don't overpromise.
When do you think this podcast is going to be? Because
this podcast, I can tell you, will be Thursday night, the day the snow fell out of the sky.
Of this week.
It literally tomorrow.
So if people are listening to this tomorrow or Friday.
Well, everyone's dead because it got so cold.
Don't say that.
I'm sorry. Everyone in the Northeast died because it got so cold.
That's more accurate.
Thank you.
So people listening to this now, I would say go check YouTube because not Thursday or Friday night, but sorry.
Don't overpromise.
I would guess like in the next 3 or 4 days. So that would mean like weekend.
Add a month to that.
Yeah. And so February 1.
So you underpromise and overdeliver. That's how it always works.
You're right. So let's say check soon. It's going to be January.
Do you think Monday the 8th?
For sure, man.
I don't know, man.
Yes.
February the 8th.
No, I've been on a weekend upload schedule.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
So I'm thinking this weekend is what I'm saying. So that's why I'm like, go check YouTube.
Should we be quiet about it when it goes up or should we make hay about it on the social
make
media?
Make hay, man. Make hay.
Do we look as cute as your new puppy in the video?
My beard does.
Well, that will be up.
I thought that was a puppy. Was the puppy. I thought you were carrying a puppy on your face.
Well, that was part of the training for Tim Sullivan.
It's a chihuahua. got a baby chihuahua. Husky. A guy ran with the moose attached to his back, which is on video. I was glad I got that guy. Yeah. Not running, but in the queue, sort of lining up pre-race. So why not run with the chihuahua wrapped around your face?
What you missed, because you had to stick with me, was at the very end, you missed Anna Brooks doing her breakaway and beating the moose.
I heard her discuss that. I know. We don't have that on video.
I know. It's because
But we have him lined up. He did pretty well then, running with a moose.
He did do pretty well. She did pretty well.
She sure did.
Well, yeah.
So yeah.
She was running with a moose. She was running with me. Thank you very much. Do you not see that? Am I the only one who saw that parallel?
Gentlemen, I think that may do it.
That may do it.
Greg, thanks so much for your artistry, for your athleticism, for your jet black hair. How do you keep your hair so dark? What do you use?
There's grays in there, man.
No,
don't
dude,
you be fooled. Like, it's just this
it's like
dim light of
black,
the,
man.
It's the dim light of these amazing studios.
What, 28? Why don't you turn the studio lights on, Peter?
Oh, my God. It's like the picture of Dorian Gray over here. Can't look at him directly. Turn those back off. Greg, thanks so much. We look forward to the video. Good luck with Running With Cameras is the YouTube channel.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks
my
for,
favorite
thanks
YouTube
for
channel.
It's my only YouTube channel.
Right.
I don't, because we don't have one. Do we?
Yeah, we did.
Wait, do we?
Yeah, remember we did a Lori Richmond video and we've done a few others.
I don't think
running stadiums video.
Why don't we ever tell anybody about
it? Well, you have a residency at Running With Cameras now, so.
Okay.
Wow, we can put all our stuff on his page.
Plus, Greg's videos are way better than ours.
So much better than ours. We're really an audio medium.
Oh, yes, you guys.
That's all we can handle. Mm-hmm.
As the video will show, face for radio right here. running form for radio. Greg, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See you next time.
This has been episode 112 of How Is Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence. Many thanks to Running With Cameras' Greg Shea for being our special guest. For more information about How Was Your Run Today, go to our website, howwasyourruntoday.com or hwyrt.com. Come visit a live recording of HWYRT on January 6, 2018 at the Boston Public Library from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Please visit iTunes and give us a great rating and review. Join us every Saturday with your Sat Stat Chats. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and include a sweet, sweet photo. Hey, everybody, have a great run today. Many thanks to award-winning. I don't know how to speak English.
You're telling me now you're recording?